You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hey, and thanks for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Now, when you think about managing and leading your team, what is the one thing that frightens or worries you the most? Maybe it's one of these things. Maybe you're scared to stand up to your team, or maybe you're scared if you push them that they'll leave. Maybe you get worried they won't do what you ask. That certainly was one of my worries. I would ask them something in front of a crowd and they would say no, and then I would be embarrassed and wouldn't know what to do, which is crazy because it never happened. Maybe you're scared to stand up to clients. Maybe you have a fear around being rejected in general. And I know this is another one that I used to worry about too. Maybe you're fearful of being too bossy. So I totally understand that. Which one is you? What is the fear that you have around managing and leading your team? Now, I've learned some valuable lessons over the years around overcoming fear. So I wanted to share some of them with you. And very early on when I was seven, so early on, in fact, I was a kid, my parents separated and we moved to Wellington. And I arrived in Wellington at a new school and I was the new kid. So at seven or eight, standard three it was in those times, I arrived in the new year into a new class and I didn't know it at the time, but there was a new teacher and she was new to the school and she inadvertently set me up with the class bully. You know, if you've got somebody new to the class, the teacher pairs you up with somebody so you're not alone. And she paired me up with this very confident, tall girl who turned out to be the class bully. Little poor teacher, she didn't know. She was new too and trying to do her best. But I was bullied that year and that bully, well, she was so manipulative. She would take a group of kids down to the dairy down the road and she would buy two bags of lollies. I remember it so clearly, in a brown paper bag. And she would buy one bag for herself and then she would turn around to the crowd and she would look at everybody. And she would decide which child was going to be gifted this bag of lollies. Such a manipulator. Anyway, she would bully me into doing things like not going on a school trip. She told me that I had to tell the teacher that I felt sick and I would stay at school in the sick bay for the day, which of course happened. And my mum was a teacher there. She was a relieving teacher there. And so she was part of the school. And so I was completely pushed down and squashed back and manipulated that year. And it was awful. It got so bad that I started to wag school. Now, a 7 or 8 year old to wag school is pretty bad. What do you do for a day? Well, I would get my sister to stay with me, and we found this great place, this little rundown garages that were a little bit derelict. But for a kid, it was such a great play place. And we would go there and we'd play, God knows what we would play, all sorts of shops and schools and things that little girls make believe play. Until one day, a friend of the family saw us there at an unusual time in the middle of the day and inquired why we were not at school. And of course, we were sprung. And so after many tears with my mum, I had to face up to the fear. And the end of the year came and went, and the new school year we were ready to go back to school. And I was so fearful and worried. But my mum sat me down and she said, you know, Larissa, when she comes over to you, anyway, she prepped me. She told me to go and sit with some other girls. And I did that. I arrived in the classroom. And, you know, at the beginning of the year, you would pick your desk. Those were the days before open plan schooling, where you actually had a desk that lifted up and you put a book and your pencil inside. And I, on purpose, went and sat with a different group of girls. And I sat there. And, of course, the bully came over. They were on the other side of the classroom and she came over. This was all before the bell rang on the first day. She said, hey, Larissa, come with us. And I said, oh, no, thank you. I'm going to sit here today. And, you know, that was the end. That was it. Those bullying days were gone. She went back to her crowd and she never, ever bullied me and bothered me again. And it was a really interesting life lesson because how simple was the solution to that? Yet I'd invested a year in being bullied and pushed around and manipulated so bad that I was fearful of going to school and I would, what, 7-year-old wag school, taking her sister with her, in fact. Yet the solution in standing up to the bully was so simple, and it was a really good life lesson that we make things bigger in our heads than we need to. We think that we can't overcome things, yet sometimes the solution is really simple. And so I've come up with this saying or this realization that it's often all in our head. And in my salon days, we created the saying because one of the challenges, one of the things that I was so fearful was when staff members would come up to me and say, Larissa, I need to talk to you. And golly, I would have a heart attack, right? I would worry and it would keep me up at night. And God forbid if they asked me, can I make a time to speak to you on a Friday? Because now I needed to worry about it all weekend and through Monday when we were closed and to whatever day that we could get together for a few moments. You know what it's like trying to coordinate appointment books. And I would stew on it for days, keeping me up at night. But slowly over time, I realized that a majority of those, hey, Larissa, can I speak to you, just ended up being little things and potentially big things for them, but they were little things that I could actually handle easily, like, hey, Larissa, I need a day off and it's going to be a Saturday. Or can you help me save money and take a little bit of money out of my wages and put it into a separate account? Or can you help me doing small personal matters? Or they just needed to vent a little bit about someone else in the team that was bothering them. Now, given every now and then it was a big thing, like I'm pregnant or I'm leaving or I'm stressed or I need stress leave or I'm going overseas. So, you know, granted, those things happen sometimes, but I learned that 80% of the things that I worried about and I conjured up inside of my head were actually really simple and easy to overcome. And actually, I could handle it. So we created a saying that was, and we talked about it as a group, you know, because it wasn't just me that would stew and stress over things. Likewise, if I came to them and said, hey, can I speak to you? They would worry their hearts out that they'd done something wrong and bad. So we created the saying, hey, can I talk to you? That's a good thing. You're not in trouble. And we had a series of pregnancies. And so the team would come up to me and say, hey, Larissa, can I talk to you? But I'm not pregnant. I just want to impress upon you that 80% of the things that we worry about never come true. And that worry and anxiety actually just sits in our head and our own imagination. And I give you permission to let it go. Now, speaking of pregnancies, we had 14 babies in 4 years. Now, if you imagine the logistics of that, that's 2 or 3 people pregnant all the time. So for 4 years solid, we had 2 or 3 people pregnant in the salon. There was honestly something in the water. And in the beginning, I just thought it was an absolute nightmare. It was the worst thing that could ever happen because also I had 2 of those babies. I had 2 of those 14 babies and 5 of those babies were in my management team. That's a lot of babies. And it really felt like a nightmare sometimes. And I stressed a lot about it. But, you know, it ended up being one of the best things that happened. Those that shouldn't have come back didn't. And those that did come back fantastic hours. They worked. We created this amazing roster. It was hard work, I have to say, creating the roster. But we created this amazing roster that meant that we had extra support on late nights and Saturdays. The girls, the mums came back. Luckily, probably that the management team set the precedent because they were having the early first babies and they came back with a really good work ethic, myself included. And they would come and work from 2 to 8. So the morning is often quieter, lunch gaps. And when does it get busy in the hair and beauty salon? 2 o'clock in the afternoon through to 8 o'clock. And so we had this amazing roster where we had the coverage where we needed it. We had plenty of people on Saturday because they only needed a short amount of daycare until the husband could get home and pick up the child from daycare or from the mother or whoever was looking after them and could take the baby till 8 o'clock. It was perfectly. So we built a better, stronger team and we built an amazing culture around flexibility and family. And it was really cool. And so that worry, that early worry that how we were going to cope as the managers had baby and all these subsequent babies, I learned that I can handle that too. And it was all in my head. I was worrying in advance about things that hadn't happened and actually never came to fruition. And I could handle it. And I actually had the skills within me to troubleshoot at any moment when I was faced with a problem, that I was smart enough to think through what needed to happen and put something proactive in place. And I learned also that my headspace, or how anxious I felt, or how much I worried, or how much I lay awake at night, did not affect the outcome. So whether I got 2 hours sleep because I was awake all night did not affect the outcome overall relating to my team or any of those challenges that were coming up. But it did affect me. I can't control the outcome and I can't control other people, but I can control how I manage my head, my headspace, my anxiety levels, and the things that I invest time in to consume my brain space. So I've got another one for you, and I want you to be honest, and maybe you'll just quietly PM me if this has happened to you. So you message somebody and you send them a message through Messenger, or maybe it's a text message. And because we have the ability to do this, you know that they have seen the message and they haven't replied yet. What was the conversation? What is the conversation that you have with yourself around this? Oh no, I said something wrong. She doesn't agree with me. Oh my goodness, she hasn't replied. She's seen it. She hasn't replied. Maybe she hates me. Shivers, maybe I said the wrong thing. And I realized that actually I did this to people too. And I noted that I saw things and I didn't reply straight away. Because guess what? I was busy. I was driving. I know you shouldn't be looking at your phone, but maybe you look at it when you're at the traffic lights. Maybe you're on the loo. Who takes their phone into the toilet? Come on, hands up. Be honest now. I have my phone in my back pocket when I walk at all times. I walk around the house and my phone is with me. Yes, it comes to the loo, not that I look at it, but it's with me. In bed, maybe you're talking with somebody, having a coffee with them, and you notice something. But of course, you're not going to be rude and interrupt and reply right now. And that's what happens to the people that you message as well. We're not giving each other a break to live a life. We're expecting instant response. Do you know my own family members get anxious when I haven't replied immediately? And they're not giving me the break to go, oh, maybe she's actually busy or tied up and she can't. Maybe she's read it and she can't respond. Now, I run a business that is fully around in Messenger. I run Salon Owners Collective fully inside of Messenger. I run Salon Bot, obviously, through Messenger. And sometimes things get lost in the black hole. Now, I try really hard to make sure I go through all the previous messages and don't miss anything, but it's not a perfect science. And so I want to give you some reassurance that when people don't respond, it's not because they don't like you. You've said something wrong. It's actually not about you. This is actually called social anxiety. Actually, it's a real thing. And the same goes not just for instant messages, but for people liking or commenting on posts. Because if I don't click like on your post, like or love or laugh at your post, it doesn't mean that I don't like it. I'm just busy. And guess what? Sometimes because of the algorithm, I actually don't see them. And sometimes I see them and I'm not really present. I'm scrolling and I don't like them. As in, I like the content maybe, but I don't click like. And actually, to be honest, I'm not much of a liker. I'm a lurker and I'm a looker. I am a clicker. Now, did you know, just on a side note, that Facebook categorizes you by your behavior, whether you look, whether you're a stalker, looking, no action, whether you're a liker and a laugher, or a commenter or a tagger, or you're a clicker. And you will fall into one of those three categories. A stalker, these are my category names, not Facebook's, just saying, a stalker, a clicker, or a stalker, a commenter, or a clicker. and you will be categorized that. And in fact, you can target ads based on people's behavior. But anyway, that's another whole topic for another day. But the reason I bring it up is that because whatever people's behaviors are, whatever your friends and family and clients' behaviors are, is not about you. It's about them. It's about their behavioral choices and their ability to respond and their busyness and their lives. It's actually not about you and what you what you're saying to them. So I want to give you permission to let go of the anxiety that we hold on to and that social anxiety that gets in our way and it gets in our head, and we hold on to the worry and the fear and it paralyzes us. When we hold on to fear and anxiety, whether it's around our team or social anxiety, it stops us from progressing and doing the things that we need to do. It actually takes up a lot of our processing power inside of our brain, and we feel busy. But actually, if we look to our output, it's really low. But our brains are full and they're cluttered and they look cotton wool like. It's like having too many tabs open on your computer, and the mechanics inside of your computer start to go slower. And we feel stressed and we can't cope. But I want you, I want to encourage you that you can set yourself free from this by letting go of what other people think of you. It actually sets us free because it's not about you. Now, just a quick caveat. Sometimes it is about you. So how do you know if it's not about you or if it is about you? Because we can't allow bad behavior and then just say, oh, well, it's not about me. So it's not about you when you are having these single individual situations like I described. Now, if you are having the same negative response coming back at you multiple times from multiple people in multiple parts of your lives, it's a really clear indicator that there's something that you are doing, because you are the one constant thing in amongst all of those experiences. That would be the only caveat that I would say, that you need to take a good long look at yourself and say, if the same problem and challenges is reappearing in all parts of your lives with multiple relationships, then there's something, then maybe it is about you. But other than that, I give you permission to set yourself free and let it go. It's not about you. And I want to tell you a story about when I was younger, not quite so young, but around 20. It was around the time that I opened my first salon. And I had this boyfriend, and he was he played sport. He was very sporty, and he played indoor netball, which is a mixed male-female, really fast game. It's different to outdoor netball. It's fast-paced, and he played in this high-level tournament, and there was this kind of community group around the sports team. And so I was the new kid on the block. I was the new person coming into an existing community, I guess. And do you know what it's like when you come into a group that's already got an established relationship and flow and the way that they work? Anyway, he introduced me to everybody, as you would. And the next time that I arrived at the netball courts and I was coming to watch a game, I was walking along. Now, when I was 20, I was quite shy. And I was that kind of girl that was, you know, I was confident behind the chair and inside of my business relatively. But walking along the street, I probably walked with my head down more often than not, actually, when I think about it. And I walked past the netball courts and I saw these two girls playing, practicing on my way up towards where the tournament was. And I kind of shyly smiled at them and kind of looked down and carried on walking. Anyway, a day or two later, my boyfriend came to me and said, well, why were you so rude to my friends? And he really had me up about it. And I was like, what do you mean rude? And long story short, I'd walked past his friends and quote unquote snobbed them. What a rude person I had been. And his friends were outraged that I was so rude and above them. Well, that broke my heart. That's not who I am. That's not who I was. I was shy and timid, not that I was really aware of that at 20. And they had totally misinterpreted my shyness for rudeness and snobbiness. And so what I learned is, it doesn't matter who you are being or acting like, the people that you are with interpret you as they see you. Their own life experiences and expectations of life and how people behave sit like a filter, like a pair of sunglasses over their eyes. And so how they were judging me was absolutely not about me, because that wasn't me. They judged me how they thought that behavior looked. And in their experience, potentially that's how they behaved when they were being snobby and rude and catty to someone. They might look away. They might look at somebody and look away and on purpose snob them. That, well, that's far from who I was. I wouldn't even dream of doing that. That wouldn't have been in my vocabulary at that time. But I learnt that lesson that doesn't matter who you are being or trying to be. You can't control how other people judge you. So I had this lovely girl who worked as a stylist. She was relatively new as a stylist to me. This was years later, by the way. And she was getting married. She'd only worked for me around 6 weeks, I think, from memory. And she came to me and said, "Hey, Larissa," this was before, maybe it was mid the baby story, I can't remember, but she said, "Hey, Larissa, I really need to speak to you." And she came to me where I was standing at the computer, not at reception, but we had a computer in the colour bar. "And I really need to talk with you." So I thought, great, yep, sure, how can I help you? Anyway, she was nervous and fidgety, and she said, "Well, look, actually her dad was dying, and she had planned, they had plans to get married, but he was dying. He didn't have long to live. And they wanted to bring the wedding forward, and they wanted to get married at his hospital so he could see his daughter get married." Man, talk about heartbreak. Anyway, of course, I jumped into action. I made it super easy for her. We moved clients. We let her, you know, meanwhile, I'm kind of, you know, heartbreak for my clients and all the clients who have to move and all the Saturdays that she needed to have off. But what else would you do? Of course, you come to the party. And we made it happen anyway. And we changed her roster and gave her everything that she needed in this really difficult time. Anyway, later, a day or two later, she came back to me and she said, "I'm Larissa, I'm so grateful for what you did." I mean, of course, well, you wouldn't not, right? But she said, "I'm so grateful for what you did. I was so nervous. I waited several days before asking you for that time off. I really thought it would be difficult and you would be hard work. I was nervous. And I didn't want to ask you because I really didn't think it was going to be a problem. And I thought I was going to have to quit my job, and I've only just arrived and I loved it." Anyway, she went on and it was this big thing inside of her head. And I realized that she was prejudging me. Well, previously she had prejudged me. And with all of her previous experiences and her life experience and her previous employment experiences, she had a judgment around authority and what bosses were going to be like and behave like, and that she thought that this request would be denied and she would have to quit her job. Well, that wasn't about me. You know, that experience and the way that she dealt with that was about her and her previous experiences. And she thanked me so much, and through my actions, she learned to get to know me, the real me, and that I actually had a heartbeat and that I was prepared to help her. And, you know, when you let go of how other people judge you and how other people behave, because it's not about you. And this actually gives us so much more freedom to let go of what other people think of us, because you can't control it anyway. So whoever you're being, they are judging you how they want to judge you anyway. So you might as well be confident being the best version of you. Let them learn who you are by experiencing you. Because what's going on in their head is not even about you. So just focus on being the best version of yourself, and that alone will take care of how they perceive you. So I just really want to encourage you to not worry about the things that you can't control. Let go of what you can't control. Don't worry about the things that haven't happened yet. Let it go and trust that you have the innate ability to handle whatever comes your way at the moment that you need to handle it. 80% of the things that you worry about never actually happen anyway. And those 20% of things that do happen, you have the ability to handle whatever comes your way in the circumstances in that moment that you need to. Actions speak louder than words always. Now, hopefully that makes you feel a little bit better and take a deep breath in your ability to handle the things that come up in front of you. And I know that feeling good and feeling motivated and new ways of thinking and managing your brain, it's a little bit like changing a habit, right? We get into a habit of how we perceive things. We too perceive things and expect things that are going to happen that aren't necessarily going to happen. We are judging other people in the way that we think that they're going to behave. Yet when you say to them, "No thanks, I'm just going to sit over here today," actually you don't know how they're going to behave. All you can do is try. And so changing those habits is a bit like, you know, the old saying of it takes 21 days to change a habit, or motivation is like taking a bath. You need to do it every day. You need to change the way that you manage your brain daily. You can't just listen to this once and think that you will never have fear and worry again. So I have something for you. I want to be your personal trainer to make sure that you show up to the gym, right? Because when you have a personal trainer, you're going to show up for the class, right? Rather than sleeping in your snuggly warm bed in the morning. So I want to support you in overcoming fear and letting go of anxiety and that overwhelm that we feel trying to juggle business. Sometimes we just need someone in our corner. So I want to send you some of these reminders, some of these things that we talked about. Every day or two, I'm going to get you off to a really good start for the day and think and remind ourselves of the things that we worry about. 80% of them aren't going to come true, and that we don't have to worry about things that haven't happened yet. So I'm going to send them to you. All you need to do is go to www.salonownerscollective.com/ditch the fear. And I will send you a daily reminder and keep you on top of your game so you can ditch the overwhelm, get the shit done that you need to do, and let go of the anxiety. I look forward to supporting you more, and go to salonownerscollective.com/ditch the fear. And I look forward to seeing you on the podcast next week.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes, or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.